Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Ooh, savage.
I like to keep it real simple.
All right, you guys, it's Wednesday. Today, we have the one and only singer-songwriter, Anthony Nix, with us. Welcome, welcome, Anthony.
How are you? Good to be here.
You know, it's crazy. I'm good. I'm crazy busy. But, and I know you are too, but it's good to finally be able to connect, because I know we've been trying to do this for months now.
I fangirl over here a little bit. So yeah, I've been waiting to get to talk to you.
Stop it. So how did we meet? We met on TikTok Live.
I think so, yeah.
A while ago. I knew nothing about you. And you were in your car. I think you were singing in your car.
Probably. That makes sense.
It was just a random live. I was just scrolling. You were singing in your car. I popped in. And I think you said something like, oh, I know, like, Savage Mom, whatever. And I was like, oh, hi. Like, I don't know. I just kind of hung out in there. So that's how I first came across your content. And then I would see you live, see you singing, and I remember one time popping in, and there was drama, then not drama, then you were sick and not sick. We're about to dive into all of the juicy details. So let's rewind back to my memory. Everything seemed kind of cool and calm and collective. You were singing. Is that how you got started? First of all, is that how you got started on TikTok? Like, you were doing singing?
That's the reason I got started, but I actually have another account that did pretty well that I got permanently removed from TikTok on, because I used to battle my friend Kingery a lot in dances, and I got a little too into one.
You took your clothes off.
I was banned for something with the word adult in it, yes.
Adult nudity?
Yes, I was banned for adult nudity.
Wait, how much, what'd you have left on?
It was the equivalent of seeing plumber crack, literally, in a dance move, and that was it.
So you took your shirt off, you had pants on, and you bent down, and we saw butt crack?
Yes.
Okay, so you were thirst trapping. That's how you started on TikTok.
Yes.
Okay, let's even go further back. What do you do for a living? Are you a plumber?
But no.
Just thought I would ask.
When I first started TikTok, and actually that's pretty, I didn't have anything going on in life. I had just come out of something terrible.
Which was what? Don't skip past that.
So I and a lot of people know this on TikTok now. I actually at one point...
Wait. Time out. Go back before that. What were you doing before TikTok? Because I want people to see the whole picture here. So before TikTok started, before your drama started, what were you doing like prior to all of that?
I always played music on the side, you know. But
what was your main job though?
I owned a real estate business.
Oh, okay. So you own real estate. You would sing to your clients, buy this house.
Buy this house. I actually had a nickname before that even because I did 15 years in the auto industry. I was a finance manager.
Okay. So you financed. Oh, you're a salesman. You're a sweet slick talker. Okay. Now we know. Okay. So you're a salesperson. Salesperson, finance, because you know you got to have that sly tongue to be a finance person. Okay, so finance, then real estate, then you're like, well, I'm going to try my hand at singing, and then you come on TikTok and thirst trap. Okay, so in between your slick salesman and your thirst trap plumber crack stuff, you had some drama go on.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about the drama. Lay it out on us.
So I was actually facing 117 years in prison.
Oh, wait, say that one more time? 117
years? 17
years
in prison.
Was it for the finance stuff?
No. I'm from a small town. And
in what state? What state are you from?
In Wisconsin.
Okay, a cheesehead?
Not really. I'm not your typical cheesehead.
Okay.
But I do.
You're like brie cheese? Like, you're like bougie?
No. I'm not a big cheese person. I'm lactose intolerant. That's right.
Okay. So you get the shits. All right. He can't be a cheesehead, people. Okay.
No, I was in a very, very toxic relationship.
How long was this relationship?
We were together for 2 years, and it was the... We were kind of like a local power couple, I would say, for a small town anyways. I was doing really well in real estate, really well in music in the state of Wisconsin.
Actually. And what was she doing?
She is like a leader for, well, she was seemingly a leader for like women. She won like some local awards as like young business professional of the year and things like that. But actually her mom owned the business and she worked for her mom.
Okay, what was the business? Like, was she in real estate as well?
She was a salesperson for women's clothing.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, but they owned several stores.
Okay.
So they had kind of a...
So you guys were romantic, got into this 2-year relationship. You both were slick on the sales side. And what happened?
It just, after... I mean, it was that hot and heavy, super, super fast, like in love overnight. Like,
okay.
You know, which is very dangerous and toxic and horrible, but that's the way it went down. Like, talked about getting married like weeks into the relationship, which is just crazy. Like, now I know, years later.
I don't know. Some people out there might argue with that and say they knew they got married and they are still together. To each their own, I guess. To each their own. Okay, so you guys went, like, you dove in. You were all in from, like, minute one, okay?
Yes. And then the turmoil probably started 6 months in, and then...
What's the turmoil? What does that mean?
This jealousy and arguments about... I would travel for work. She was very pretty. She modeled. She did a whole bunch of things. She would, have pictures and things on the internet, and I was like, come on, like, what... Who's in your DM? She'd be like, who's in your DM?
Oh, so it was mutual. It wasn't just one way or the other.
It was Clash of the Titans.
Okay.
Yes. And we tried to hold on in that toxicity for a year and a half.
Okay.
Which is hell.
That's
for both of us.
Always wondering, always questioning. That's hard. That's a lot.
Well, and the fights and it just it was the most toxic thing you could imagine. And it was my fault just as much her fault. However, at the end, she trumped me with the toxicity. And I ended up with the police. I had just gotten back from Nashville. I taken pictures with some pretty big country musicians. I was, and I had told her that I was planning on leaving and moving back to Nashville because I had lived there previously.
Okay. So you were basically telling her you were done.
Yeah, I was done, you know, and we had broken up 43 times in a year and a half.
Okay.
I don't know. You
okay.
know what I mean?
So yeah.
What clout did, or like, what did that mean? Who knows? But I told her I was going back to Nashville. Went to Nashville, came back home. I went to kind of figure out where I wanted to live and do some networking and stuff. Came back home to a card in my front door from a sheriff's deputy that said I needed to call him. I called him and he said, you are going to be arrested. We need you to come in. And I was like, for what? He didn't want to tell me. It terrified me. So I called a lawyer
yeah.
and I was like, what do I do? And he's like, well, are you hiring me? I was like, I guess. So I hire this lawyer. He calls in, calls me back in like a half an hour. And he's like, you're going to be charged with 9 felonies and you're not going home. Like, and I was like,
whoa.
What? I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, they have to do with an ex-girlfriend. That's all they'll tell me. And I'm like, an ex-girlfriend? Like, is it, are we exes? Are we together? Like, what are we doing?
Oh, so you weren't even sure if it was her.
I didn't know. I was like, what is happening? I couldn't call or couldn't talk to her.
Okay, y'all, get your popcorn ready because this is about to get juicy. Okay, keep going.
So anyways, yeah. I
so you get into the police station.
I turn myself in.
Okay.
And I get arrested and literally 9 felonies. And then...
Like they arrested you and put you in jail and you had to stay there.
Right away. Because there were 9 felonies... They gave me, I believe the first day was an $80,000 cash bond.
Whoa. Did anyone have $80K to put?
Guy.
Who had $80K to put up for you?
I was a pretty regular guy, like, and I am. I didn't just have $80,000 laying around. Like, that's not normal, really, you know?
Mm.
So I'm sitting, and went and pled not guilty, and I talk. The article is out.
Wait, you mean paper. You mean sitting like you're sitting in jail?
I was in jail.
Oh,
it took me 4 months to get the bond lowered. I sat in jail for 4 months.
Okay, what? Holy macro! What were these felonies? List some of them off.
So they stalking. It was burglary. Like something with harassment, intimidation, it was just this, and they just, so there was like, stalking was a lot. That was the premise of the situation. And that was the charge that kept being, it was repeated, I don't even know.
What was the basis of the stalking? Was it telephone, text?
He went to the police while I was gone
mm-hmm.
and said that we had broken up a year and a half before. And I just couldn't get it through my head.
Oh. Is there truth to that?
No. And that's why okay. I'm a free man.
I'm just asking you. Okay, so you sit in jail 4 months. There's stalking. There's menacing. There's harassment. There's...
all sorts of crazy. Just
okay.
And it's stacking up. And I'm sitting there and...
What are you doing in jail? What are you...
sitting in jail, you can't...
What are you doing?
Sitting,
yeah.
Freaked out. Terrifying.
But I mean, what do you do? Like, you're sitting in there and you're like, I didn't do any of this. So then what do you do? Do you call your attorneys?
I would call my lawyer and my sisters would be able. I have 3 sisters who are like my best friends in the whole world. Like, they talk to me every day. My mom talked to me every day. Other women business owners that I did work with in the community talked to me every day, came to visit me. And they all kind of went to work for me because I couldn't help myself. And I said, you all need to go to my house. You need to get my cell phone. You need to get my computer. You need to get everything and give it to the police. And my lawyer was like, no, don't do that. And I was like, no, go do that now.
Why'd your attorney say no?
He said that once I handed that stuff over, if there was anything I didn't know about that was incriminating, I could get in even more trouble. And I said, and I kept telling him, I'm like, dude, they got the wrong guy. I want them to have all my information. Mm-hmm. I want them to have access to everything. I have nothing to hide. But he was hired and he would not give it over. So they all they had at this point was the cell phone I had when I turned myself in.
Wow.
Which that didn't have everything, because it didn't have everything from the cloud backed up for however long.
For the year and a half or whatever. So, okay.
So finally, I get all this information to them. They lower the bond because they know charges are about to get dropped.
So, but you sit in jail for 4 months.
So this is where, and the long story is how everything changed when I started TikTok, and I was in a terrible place. Like, I wanted to not be alive anymore. I wanted to, like,
yeah, because if you're sitting there every single day knowing, okay, I didn't do this, how do I get out, no one's helping you, there's got to be times where you're thinking, like, what's the point?
There was a lot of times when I thought, what's the point? And the days where I just would give up and be like, I guess I have to figure out how to get used to this life. Like, this is it.
Okay, so you overcome that mentally within the 4 month time frame, obviously, because you kept fighting. So you fight,
yeah.
You give them the information, they lower your bond. What was the bond lowered to?
They dropped it to a $10,000 cash bond, because there were still charges. You still have, once you're in and you're charged,
mm-hmm.
they don't just one day go away.
Okay.
Like, there's the prosecution was like, nah, this guy was, because, and this is the hard part behind it. I was a bad kid growing up. Like, I had been in juvie. I had been arrested.
Okay.
I didn't do anything like this ever.
Yeah, but that played into, okay, this but could every, potentially
every
be.
Every bar fight, every, you know, mm-hmm. everything from being expelled in high school came out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, hey, he's a bad guy. We're taking this all the way.
So they lower the bond. Okay.
I bond out to a $10,000 cash bond.
Okay.
And I come home and I told my lawyer, I was like, I want to leave. Like, I'm not going to run from this, but I want to, like, I got to get out of here. I live in a small town. This is crazy. There's a newspaper article out now. I remember going to the grocery store and feeling like people just, they wanted to kill me. Like, I felt so small and just horrible. I was like, can I leave the state? So I had to ask permission to leave the state and go to Tennessee. And I left. I went back to Tennessee for a while, kept working on music because that's kind of what was my happy place.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my real estate license. Obviously, I wasn't going to do business locally.
But wait, how did you okay, so you get out and yep. the charges are still there. So, like, nothing had been settled.
The charges were still there. So
okay.
I still had to fight these charges. However, they lowered the bond because we were able to present some evidence, but
mm-hmm.
the process goes as such, you're not really fighting your trial until trial. You're allowed to present some evidence to help you on the way,
mm-hmm.
but a judge will only allow you to present so much until you decide to go to trial.
So when was trial from when you got arrested?
Here's the crazy part. Small town, right?
Uh-huh.
Very small town.
Uh-huh.
Kind of the bad boy. I was also a good athlete in bands when I was younger. I had a lot of girlfriends in a small town.
Oh, Lord.
So I left, came back. I was at a meeting at my lawyer's house, or at his office, which looks like a house down by the lake. And SWAT team rolls up at my meeting, arrests me again, throws me back in jail again with another $80,000 cash bond.
What was this for?
All the same stuff. So what they did while I was gone is her and this detective, who's local and their kids go to school together and blah, 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 buddies. I have video. Like, the thing people don't know is after a trial, you get all the videos. You get all the evidence. I have everything. I've seen everything.
Okay, so you get arrested again.
So she goes around with him to talk to everybody I've ever dated since, like, middle school. They interviewed 90 women in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay, listen, you got around.
I got around. And I'm not that's the thing. I don't live that life anymore, and I'm open about it.
Listen, you didn't even have hoes in other area codes. You kept them all in the same. That was your problem. That was your problem. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy, sir.
This was a major, like, this was the biggest trial.
Okay, so you get arrested again. You're saying there's a witch hunt. Look, we don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm hearing the story for the very first time. There's a witch hunt. You get thrown back in the slammer. Yep. How long were you back in again before trial?
So this time the judge was obviously very familiar with the case. Because months had gone by. He had talked to her several times. He had talked to me several times and my attorney. She came in. The detective comes in on this one. This time they tried to say, and I talk about it, I'm not charged with it. They tried to charge me with SA.
Okay.
And it was her. So the other charges weren't sticking. So now she was like, well, there was one point while we were dating, a year and a half. And she's like, we got in an argument and blah, 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 blah. And if he would have been nicer to me, it wouldn't be that. But he, and this is literally her verbiage, but he wasn't nice to me after that. And he accused me of cheating on him the next day and blah, blah, blah. So anyways, the judge is listening to her and listening to the, and he literally says in front of everybody, and it's, like I said, this is all public record. This doesn't add up. Something's not adding up. No, that charge is not allowed in this case. So immediately removed from the table.
Okay.
Like, and he's like, so then they were like, well, this girl said this and this girl said this and nothing like that, but just that I was mean. Like that I was not a nice guy.
Okay.
No essay, no stalking, no anything like that. But, well, he's been a jerk for all these years. So two of her friends out of the 90 women who I also had relations with were like, he's a jerk. And so they tried to charge me with like domestic stuff with them from years before.
Okay.
All of this gets dropped.
Okay.
And thrown out at the end of the day. So what happens is,
so how long were you in jail though? When on the second time?
That time it was like a week.
Okay.
I just had to wait for the hearing to get the bond dropped. I knew what was happening, and it was, and my lawyer said they're just going to stack. Because right now, there's been articles out, and they've been coming after you for a year, and they've exhausted a lot of funds coming after you. So there's no way they're just going to
just drop it. Okay. So you're in jail for another week. Then what happens?
So I go home after that. I do a $10,000 cash, they drop it again. So now they have $20,000 and I'm on to a $20,000 cash bond. And then it's just crickets for months. You hear nothing. I'm waiting months for another court date. The day before the court date to decide if I wanted to go to a jury trial.
Okay.
Would
the jury trial be there in that city and in that town? Or did you have to?
Yeah.
Okay.
However, I still wanted to go because I knew what I had.
Okay.
Which is what literally saved my life at the end of the day.
Okay.
I'm weird. I save everything. Like I say, and to this day, I save every conversation.
Well, I'm sure now you do. Absolutely.
Now I'm a weirdo about it. I'm like, nope. Screenshot saved.
You're like, save that puppy. Okay, so you spend a weekend. There's months of crickets.
Spend a weekend, so then it's crickets. And then all of a sudden, the day before I'm about to go to this jury trial, the district attorney calls and says, and this is unheard of, literally unheard of here anyways. If he agrees to become a felon, we'll drop all the rest of the charges today. And I was like, what? You took a year of my life. I've spent 4.5 months in jail. Every penny I have, I've lost my career. I've lost everything.
Mm.
Now you're telling me, after they went through my computer, because I finally got to give them everything. So these months, that's what they were doing.
Was going through.
And I found out after they got warrants for Apple, Facebook, Instagram, everything.
Mm.
When they looked through all of that, they realized that she had literally sent me nudes and told me that she loved me and everything the day before she called the police. and every day before that, the entire time.
Wow.
And so all of a sudden they were like, shit.
Yeah, but why would they say you need to be a felon or agree to be in a felon? I don't understand that piece of it.
According to my lawyer, and I don't know, I'm not a lawyer by any means, but according to my lawyer and from what I learned in that year long of dealing with this, if the prosecution spends that much time and that much money, if even if they don't get any of those charges, but I get one charge, they technically win. And politically,
well, then why wouldn't they switch it over to a person who had the false accusations and charge that person? So then they win.
They're because of victim witness protection rights in the state of Wisconsin.
I know nothing about the court system. I'm not even going to pretend.
So there are in the state of Wisconsin, there are victim witness protection rights. And even if it is proven that it didn't happen, mm-hmm. the victim is still the victim and can never be prosecuted.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay, so they give you this plea deal, right? Is that what it's called, a plea deal?
They give me a plea deal, yeah. Okay. They give me a plea deal. So I become a felon for reckless endangerment to public safety for an argument that I was in unrelated in 2015. That's, I mean... This is,
With a girl?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
So I'm in an argument drinking. We're out at the bars. No physical altercation. In fact, my dumbass tried to jump out of a moving vehicle.
Oh, Anthony.
I was reckless. It was totally reckless. Did I deserve in 2015 a felony for reckless endangerment? Yes, 100%. And I totally tell everyone, I'm like, yeah, I definitely in 2015 deserved that felony. But
oh,
not
Lord.
In 2020 when I would have never jumped out of a moving vehicle.
Okay, so they come to you, they say, here's a plea deal. Do you take it right then and there, or do you talk to your attorney like, hey?
I said no.
Okay.
I said no. And my attorney, so I called my mom, I called my sister, I called everyone who mattered, you know, and I was like, look, this is the way this is going to go. I can take this plea deal and become a felon and have to fight for my life back after this, or I keep fighting and maybe I win and it's all goes away.
And what did they say?
My family basically was like, they were like, the damage is done. It's never going away.
Mm.
They were like, even if you're not a felon, even if you do not become a felon after this, this town is not going to forgive you. Nobody's going to change their mind. They said the article's out. The damage is done.
Look, you should have known that after about 60, 70 women in that small town.
I was young and dumb. I fully...
We've all been young and dumb, but 60, 70, 80, 90, like not that dumb.
Well, I was having fun.
Yeah. What have we learned, Anthony, to keep our what and our what?
No, I don't. My life is completely different.
Okay. But. All right. So everyone's like, take the felony? Take it? Everyone's telling you take it?
Everyone's like, just take it.
Okay. So
I weigh the options and I go back. I talk to my lawyer. I'm like, what is it like, where are we financially? And this was the dagger. And he's like, okay. Hey, like, we're good right now, but this jury trial is going to cost you a fortune. And he told me the number and I was like, I don't have that.
But there was no way for you to countersue at any point for false anything because of the victim thing.
I've tried.
Okay.
And it's just the process is so hard.
Okay. So you talk to everyone and they say, take it. Your attorney says it's going to cost you a lot of money. You say, I don't have it. So then what do?
I took the deal.
Okay.
The judge. So the deal held at technically 11 years in prison still. It's a felony. And it's reckless endangerment to public safety.
Okay. So
I go into the last day of all of this and I say, yeah, I'll take it. And now it's at the judge's mercy.
Mm.
You either go to prison or you go home. And I was fully ready to go to prison. Like, but 11 years as the maximum opposed to that 117, I was broken down mentally. Like I was just, I was tired. Like I wasn't this person. I was a different person. And I was just like, that was it. I gave up. Like, I don't have what it takes financially, mentally, anything anymore. I give up. I'm done. I learned my freaking lesson from, you know, and my whole life changed, you know?
So you go into the courtroom that day, not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah. And so he talked to me for a little while and he said, and I'll go into this a little bit after if you want, but he said to me, and I'll never forget, I wish this would have gone to a jury trial. Those are his words on the record.
Mm.
And I wanted to stop and be like, I changed my mind. Why? He said, I'm going to put you on probation because I don't know how credible the other side is, but I also do know that you, young man, have had a long life of doing dumb shit. And rightfully so. I mean, he was totally right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because and he said, at this point, the crimes you were charged of, there's never been any proof you did any of that. However, I think your past finally caught up with you. Mm. And you're going to pay this price. Don't mess up or you're going to face all of it.
Mm.
And that was scared straight, like, instantly.
Sure.
Okay, done. Like,
okay. So what did, so he said probation. How long is probation?
He gave me 5 years of probation.
And that started when?
That was in 2020. So okay. I still have a year left.
Okay.
However, I'm on, like, I don't have to, which this is where I keep getting left out of everything.
Okay.
Like awards and things like that. I've been nominated for, I don't even freaking know.
Mm.
But they always reach back out and they're like, dude, there's a 5 year limit. There's a 5 year. After your 5 years, you can win whatever you want to win. And I'm like, why is this?
So 5 years after your felon, after your probation's over, or five?
So literally next year.
You could start winning. Okay.
I can.
What kind of awards? What kind of awards are we talking about? Music awards?
Music awards. I've been nominated for Midwest Artist of the Year, Songwriter of the Year, Male Vocalist of the Year, which is like
for what? What for what?
So it's called the Whammy Awards, and then Midwest Country Music Awards.
Okay.
Which are like our small Grammy and ACM kind of awards for the Midwest area.
Okay.
And like, yeah, I get nominated every time in the past 3 years. And they're like, dude, we love you, but
you have to wait. Hmm.
So what?
Now, I need to say this because we're only hearing your side. We have not heard anyone else's side. So this is Anthony's account. I'm not taking anyone's side. I'm just listening to what you have been telling me. What have you learned in all of this?
I think that the biggest thing to take from it, for me personally anyways, is when a relationship gets toxic, when you lie, when you cheat, there is no coming back.
Mm-hmm.
There is no, if you break up, if there's this constant breakup because there's no trust, like, that's it. You have to be mature enough to be like, this is the end of the road, because it does not get better. I don't believe that. I've seen it. I've watched other cases. My situation, I lived that for years, being this, honestly, just being a douchebag and being super dishonest and super, you know what I mean?
Like,
and yet, does it physically hurt anybody? No, but emotionally, that really messes with people. And
absolutely,
emotionally mess with the wrong person and they want to nail you to a cross. Like,
I think sometimes people looking from the outside and looking at other people that I know, they're like, well, I want to hurt him or her just as much as they hurt me. And I'm like, just walk away. Like, just let it go. Just let it go. Wow. That's an insane last few years. Okay, so 2020 happens. You're on probation. You start TikTok. Where are you now? Do you have children? Did you have children before? Yeah, are you in a relationship?
I'm in a super healthy relationship. I have a beautiful 16-month-old daughter.
Aww.
I have a 17-year-old son who is a little mini version of me, which terrifies me, but he's a lot more, he's well behaved. He's never been arrested.
Okay, I'm like, please tell me he's not following in your footsteps.
No, he's well behaved. I mean, he's
just, is he with his mom? Does she have custody, or do you guys have joint, or do you see him?
We have joint custody,
okay,
of my son. So yeah, and we, that's the crazy part. When they, the past women, you know, well, obviously my history with her was the strong, like literally the strongest. Mm. She was totally in my corner.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, dude, you're an asshole, but like, you're not this guy.
I love
it. You know
it.
What I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
like mm-hmm. this is crazy. And so it's, she never, it, luckily it never affected that relationship in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I didn't know she would be in my corner. I kind of didn't expect that at all. So,
what have you changed in your thought process now, as far as how you handle your relationships and cutting ties, not cutting ties? Because it has to cross over to friendships too, not just relationships.
Oh, it has to. So one of the things that I don't drink at all, not even a drop.
That's great.
And I used to drink a lot. I used to drink a lot, and I used to part. I lived this weird. Once, most salesmen, you know, drink a lot and party a lot after work, and typically aren't. I'm sorry, but I can speak from experience. They're not the nicest guys. So I did that, and then on top of that, I would go be the front man in whatever cover band I was playing in every Friday and Saturday night. So that's extra douchey, and now you have this boiling pot of super douche, and I just lived this life for most of my adult life, and I'm blunt about it. I know it sounds horrible, but like it's completely true. And it's moving, like now in life, I'm like, dude, I avoid all this stuff like the plague. Like after shows, I run to my truck. I don't care where I am, and I don't even talk to people. Which sounds arrogant or mean, but I'm like, I just don't want to be in the mix.
You don't want to be in that lifestyle. Did you do any counseling? Did you do any counseling at all?
Yes, intense. I was in counseling. I still am in counseling.
Good.
Not as often as I was.
Yeah.
And I was never court ordered. I actually put myself in counseling because when I got out of jail the first time when I was dealing with that, I really didn't want to be.
Yeah. Listen, no matter anyone's circumstance, I am a big fan. I do counseling as well. I'm a big fan of people because you know what? Whether it be relationships, whether it be depression, whether it be your parent issues, whatever it is, I feel like getting into that counseling, listening to an impartial party who is just there to help you, does amazing things and works wonders. So I'm proud of you for that, because I have a lot of male friends that I suggest that to, and they're like, oh, I'll do it, and they've never once even picked up the phone.
You have to do it. I tell,
yeah,
and I know I can't, it's hard for me to, I can advocate for women, but especially for men, like, it is so necessary. This man in counseling broke me down, like, to like my core, and I was like crying for months every time, like sobbing, until he finally like broke through all the layers. And like I literally went in there and I was like, dude, I hate myself, and I think everyone else hates me, you know what I mean? Like, and I said, and they're not wrong, I'm a terrible person. Like, and he literally was like, you know what, you're right, I looked at your record, you're a real piece of shit. And I was like, oh my God.
That's amazing though that you can say. How old are you?
Me, I'm 41.
Okay. So being able to come into your own, meaning you're in your 40s, you already have that, okay, I've been here for a minute, I know how life works a little bit, but it's a different level being able to peel those layers apart and be like, well, damn, I didn't know this. I am really this. You know, just sitting in all of that and realizing that you can now make that change and say, I don't have to be this. I was probably this because of X, Y, and Z, and I don't have to have that now.
Oh, 100%. I the things that I picked. So I was in foster care. I'm an orphan. So,
okay.
And I was abused brutally in foster care. Like, there's all the social service records, everything. My name was changed as a little boy, and I was taken from literally the ghetto and foster care. And then I was brought like culture shock to this small community and put in a private Catholic school with all the rich kids. Mm-hmm. And immediately lashed out, like day one. I was like, nope, I'm not doing any of this.
Do you still talk to your parents? Well, your foster parents, or did you ever get adopted?
I got adopted. I talked to my mom, but my dad was extremely abusive, mm-hmm. verbally and physically, to my mom and me.
Okay.
And so I never had a break in my entire life from violence, like ever, which is not an excuse. It is a reason why people act a certain way. And mm-hmm. this is something that I talk about a lot, but it's not an excuse. And it's on me or whoever is in that situation mm-hmm. to change and to break the cycle.
I'm so happy to hear someone else say that, because there are times where someone's like, yeah, but this happened and this happened and this happened, and so I'm gonna be bitter at the world. And it's like, but the entire world did not do that. It's a situational thing, or it's an individual person that did that to you. And it sucks that you had that life growing up. It sucks, that abuse. But like you said, it was your dad and it wasn't your mom. So a lot of the times,
it's that the brunt of me being such a little jerk when I was a kid, my mom,
mm-hmm.
like always,
mm-hmm.
who like literally is a saint. Like my mom does not miss church if the doors are open. You know what I mean?
Aww.
Like I made her cry one time because I had a chance to meet my biological mom when I was 26 years old.
Okay.
So I did. I met her. My sister, who is my biological sister, pushed it really hard. We got adopted together. And I was totally against it, but my sister was like, please, I want to do this.
Okay.
And I love my sister, so I was like, okay,
you're like, fine.
I meet this woman at 26 years old, and I remember it was brief because I couldn't deal with it mentally. I am not mentally as strong as my sister by any means. Like, she's a rock and I'm just a wreck if something goes wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I'm totally messed up in the head. But so I leave, and I called my mom who adopted me. And I'm just sobbing. And I was like, I'm so sorry for everything I ever said to you, for everything I put you through. Like, I just learned things that I didn't know. And I was, in the same breath, I was like, why didn't you just tell me? And she's like, I tried, you know? And I was like, geez.
Well, age is a factor in that too, because,
yeah.
you know, friends that I have, their teenage kids are at a point where it's like, you can't tell them anything. They know everything. Then they transition into the 18, 20, 21, and it's still, I know everything. I don't want to hear what you have to say, blah, blah, blah. So it's like a cycle, right? And then when you hit your late 20s, that's when you start looking at things a little bit differently. When you are responsible for your own stuff, you're like, hold on a second. This wasn't all about against me. So it is that cycle of, and it sucks because here's the cycle. You love your parents. Then you kind of are annoyed with them. Then they know nothing. Then you start to realize they know everything. Then you really get close to them again. And then it gets to a point where you're like, man, I wish I had more time with them.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly 100%.
So whoever's listening to this podcast right now, the things I want you to take out of it are, get into counseling if you need counseling, which I think everybody does. I think everyone could use it. Even if it's just a session or two, get into counseling, take a step back, reevaluate what you're doing, and change what you need to do to make yourself happy and feel whole. I think those are two big things, because you were, let's just be honest, you were literally running through women looking for something, looking for love, looking for your next, you know, 30-second feeling or whatever it was, and you didn't realize that you're literally using these women to gain something that you were missing. You didn't even know what you were missing.
Well, that it's that high, and it breaks my heart, because I want to advocate for men so much and the ability to change and do better,
mm-hmm.
but the fact is that it's very quick to be satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, and the high of when you first meet somebody
mm-hmm.
is like extreme. It's an extreme high, and you feel so great, and you feel so loved, and you feel like God, this person loves me more than anybody's ever loved me in the whole world. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, that comes down in every relationship.
Right.
It doesn't have to go away. It shouldn't go away. But it comes down. It's not this.
Right. It's not meant to stay like that forever. Yeah.
When you have issues that you have never handled in your past,
mm-hmm.
that high can turn into a really deep depression when it starts to come down, and you got to go find something else because you need it again.
Right. And then it does. You're right. It kind of creeps into that relationship. So if you're on this high in that relationship and it starts coming down and you're like, wait a minute, something's off, something's different. And they don't want to like admit, right, and do a deep dive that it's something within them. Then that's when they're lashing out or arguments happen or they go find it somewhere else. You know, all of those things are a mix for a bad cocktail, honestly.
It's dangerous, quite frankly. It hurts people's, for the emotional scars. I mean, they probably last a lifetime, you know? I mean, they definitely do, so.
Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. Like I said, we're hearing Anthony's side. I don't even know the person's name. I don't care to know the name. It's just, I met Anthony. He had a story. I'm like, let's hear it. You said, well, I have not shared the complete story with anyone. So I was like, all right, this is the best place to do it. Let's get all the tea on it. I'm glad you're in therapy. I'm glad you're in a healthy relationship. I'm happy for you that you dug yourself out of a very tough place, because that is hard and not everyone is able to do that, right? So Congratulations to you for saying, hey, I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to dig myself out however I need to. I'm proud of you for doing that.
The journey.
I'm proud of you. And I'm proud of you for learning that, you know, as a female who has been used before, I think every single one of us at some point has been used in some kind of way. Hearing from you who, and this is going to sound harsh, ran through so many people and so many women without even thinking twice, to hear you say, oh my goodness, that was so wrong. And I can't believe I did that. I feel horrible for doing that. This hopefully will get to some of the right people and they will realize, hey, that's not okay. And not to excuse, because I have a lot of female listeners and I hope that, not to excuse their behavior, but I hope that some people realize it wasn't you and it wasn't what you were doing, but you have to also look at the other person mentally, what they were going through. Yes, the using thing is completely wrong, but maybe they were going through something so bad that had nothing to do with you. Because as women, we take it on and like, well, what did we do? And this must have been our fault. It's not your fault. They might have had something crazy going on. Let that stuff go. Move on from it. And then again, you can also do your counseling. So
it is not anybody's job to fix the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the other person didn't come equipped and ready to grow, it is not your job to heal who was a perfect stranger just a few days ago or weeks ago. You know what I mean? I love that. I think especially women need to realize that. Cause I even today, like when I tell this story, some people, I wouldn't have treated you that. You would have, cause I was a dick.
Yeah.
Like, don't say that. You don't need to want to fix me. You shouldn't want to fix me. Right. I should fix me. And then when I'm a better version of me, then
you should be okay. Say,
we can be friends. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Honestly, Anthony, it's why I stayed single for as long as I did, over 4 years. And I'm dating someone, it's been almost 6 months and I'm dating him now, but it's been a road for him too. Cause I'm very hard on what I want, what I don't want, what I have experienced, not experienced, what I know will work, what I know will not work. We've had a lot of difficult conversations. We've had a lot of, I'm super independent. Maybe I just don't need this. So there's a lot of growing, but at no point do I want to, or should I want to fix him. Because then that's taking on a project and not a partner.
100%, yes.
So on that note, I'm so thankful, Anthony, that you came on and you shared with us. We'll have to have you on again. I enjoyed this. We'll have to have you on again. But that's it. You guys, we're out.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.